Here in Honolulu tomorrow morning, Hawaii Supreme Court justices will be taking up the second of two cases appealed to the High Court. Joining us today is HPR reporter Ku'uwe Hirohishi, who will be in the courtroom with more on What's on Tap. Good morning.
Good morning, Catherine.
So tell us more about this case.
So this case, commonly known as the Flores case, or Flores versus the Board of Land and Natural Resources and University of Hawaii, this is about Mr. Kalani Flores, who is a cultural practitioner and educator from the Big Island, who requested a contested case hearing with regards to the sublease that University of Hawaii has with the 30-meter telescope. That contested case hearing request was denied by BLNR, and Mr. Flores appealed, and the Environmental Court of the Third Circuit agreed with Mr. Flores that he should be entitled to a contested case hearing. And so BLNR and UH had appealed that to the High Court, and that's where we find ourselves today. So the question is really whether Mr. Flores is entitled to a contested case hearing.
So you reached out to them.
I did. I reached out to Mr. Flores, spoke to him this morning. He seems to be in good spirits, but we also got to talk to the attorney, David Koila Copper, over at the Native Hawaiian Legal Corporation to kind of summarize what this case is really about.
Well, this case is really about the rights of Native Hawaiians to have a voice in state decision-making when those decisions could affect their cultural resources or Native Hawaiian traditional customary practices.
And also for this story, so this idea of taking into consideration traditional and customary rights of Native Hawaiians in state decision-making was a big theme of the previous contested case hearing, which we all followed, a 44-day-long contested case hearing on the conservation use district permit. So that particular case has been appealed to the Supreme Court, but the same idea of taking in all the testimony from practitioners and people that will be affected by the development, that is something that is at the center of this Flores case as well. But the difference is that this case is about the sublease and not the district use permit. So the sublease has all the pretty much the nitty-gritty on money that's being paid, how that particular development is going to be utilized and what they're going to be giving back. So it's less about the land itself and more about the business side, I guess, of this TMT decision.
So it's interesting that the lower courts have said, not so fast.
Yes, and that happened in both cases, right? So the conservation district use permit was also invalidated by a lower court and made its way to the Supreme Court. Same thing we're seeing here. So these legal proceedings are actually just sort of a backdrop, because I think the bigger question that is on everyone's mind is this looming April deadline. And so we're coming down to the wire for the 30-meter telescope, but the TMT board has made it very clear over the past several months that April 2018 was going to be the month to decide whether to build on Mauna Kea and continue their efforts to sort of seek resolutions in these legal proceedings or to relocate to the Canary Islands. And it's been an interesting move, because right now TMT has already put up a website for the TMT La Palma. They've made field visits. They are actively trying to get things ready in case of a possible pullout of Mauna Kea. But in speaking to some of the supporters of TMT, including Richard Ha, a businessman from the Big Island and one of the most staunch advocates for the telescope, they are not worried about a possible pullout. I guess a lot of the sentiment behind his feeling that way is the investment that TMT has already been making in funneling funds. They've put funds into education on the Big Island. They have done a lot of outreach work. So for people like Mr. Ha, this April deadline is not too big of a worry. And in speaking with folks over at, I guess, opponents of the telescope, Ke Aloha Peshoda is one of probably the headlining opponent of it. She expressed the possibility that April is coming, but she's not sure that April was a hard deadline. To her understanding, it was, she called it, it was a threat in some ways. that they wanted, TMT wanted to have a decision made faster. But she's saying that no matter what happens, she would like to ensure that if TMT does go to La Palma in the Canary Islands, that they do the same thing in terms of taking in consideration of the people there and what the impacts will be of the 30-meter telescope.
It's really interesting, though, because we do have legislation moving at the state capitol to try and create an agency or take the power away from UH and DLNR. What do you think about that?
Right. Senator Kai Kahele's and I guess Donovan de la Cruz, their efforts to sort of figure out a middle way or figure out a better management policy coming forward, I think that's really one of the biggest impacts of this entire process and sort of questioning and reanalyzing what it is we're doing up on that mountain and how we can ensure a management plan that takes into consideration everyone and everything that could be impacted by further development.
Right. So all these side issues, you know, we saw the one thing in court raise the issue of speaking Hawaiian in court and providing interpreters. So certainly a lot of the importance on the cultural aspects are coming up just on the periphery of this whole TMT controversy.
I think, yeah, the activism that's resulted from something like this, which, you know, it sort of had this ripple effect in the community for sure, in the Native Hawaiian community, in terms of making people aware of what laws are in place to protect certain rights and what can be used. And I think we've seen a lot of that through these legal proceedings. I'd say 30 years ago, there probably would not have been as many legal proceedings as we've had today in terms of it's been a 10-year, nearly decade-long battle for TMT to try to build this telescope, and they've stuck with it, and so have the opponents. So it will be interesting to see what happens next. I mean, April is just 18 days away, and if they stay or if they go, we don't know yet.
Right, and it is kind of curious because, you know, with all this talk about the cultural practices and respect for the culture, there's also a lot of focus on the good science that's happening up at the telescope. And a lot of young people are learning more about the programs, possible careers, and there's been lots of emphasis on that as well.
Yes, that's exactly what the TMT has been sort of funneling money and trying to support is this pipeline for TMT and all the telescopes, there are 13 up on Mauna Kea, to be a place of learning for Native Hawaiian students and future careers for Native Hawaiians as well.
Have you been up there?
I have. I always lose my breath, though. It's so it's so high up there, but it is beautiful and spectacular. And I think anyone who's following this case would really gain a lot from having that experience themselves.
Yeah, I've been up there once, but I would love to go back again.
We should.
Thank you very much, Kuvei Hirishi. Our reporter, Kuvehi, will be in the courtroom tomorrow, and we will see what happens. You can follow her stories online at hawaiipublicradio.org and click on the news tab.